Right. We greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a real blessing to be here again with you all this morning. The Lord's way is simple. Religion makes it really complicated. Just brought out that what does the Lord require of you but to walk humbly with your God, to do what's right. There's just a real blessing in that. The simplicity of what it really means to follow the Lord and the difficulty that religion, the confusion that religion brings to that. Anyway, that's just something that has amazed me at times. You know, we get caught up in what we do and we miss the simple things. And that's what Jesus came when he did. He came as a man. He came and he just brought himself. He didn't bring religion, and that was just totally rejected by the world. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we do that. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your kindness and your love that you've shed abroad in our hearts, Father. We just ask, Lord, that you'd help us be faithful to you, to bring glory to you. We ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Lord, we look into eternity. We look into you, Father, Lord, that we might take that glimpse and become more like you. Again, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I want to open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Kind of a little foundation here of what I want to talk about. I've had several visits this week with people and just kind of went two or three different directions and just saw a lot of things, or just was able to talk about things again of just and try to relate to people, just to show them the simplicity of what it means to follow the Lord. And I always appreciated Job. You know, that's one of the things I want to get to eventually, but Job was a righteous man and all hell came against him. And, you know, everyone, it seems, turned their back on him. But that is where Jesus is. You know, it's whenever something goes really, really bad, and his friends were not his friends. They came preaching to him. There was no one that was just beside him. I met a man last week. I just remembered this, but whenever Hunter passed away, there was a man in the community here. I've known him for a long time. I was friends with his brother. Never really knew this guy. He was a little older than I was. We just never hung around. But I remember going to Walmart one day, and just a few days after all this happened, I had to go do something. And this man come walking across the parking lot, and he just walked across there and he just hugged me. And then turned around and walked away. And I got a chance to talk to him. I seen him, I would go by his house, didn't even know where he really lived, and drove by his house and I seen him out on his front porch talking on the phone. So I just stopped in the middle of the road and walked over to him and just had an opportunity. And I said, you know, you don't know what that meant to me. And I just thanked him for that. Didn't even say a word. You know, there was a lot of things going on. A lot of people even blaming me for what happened. And this man just walked up and hugged me. And it was just a real blessing. And I just, that's where I want to kind of, the thought I want to talk about this morning, this God is love. That we'll get to a verse. It says that we love God because he first loved us. And that's, we'll read that verse in a minute, but I want to expand on that just a little bit. You know, this man, whenever I first began preaching and first started following the Lord, and it was pretty zealous and ignorant, you know, and that whenever you first get introduced to religion, and it was a, like I said, it was not following the Lord. It was whenever I was becoming adapted to religion. Well, you got to be against these other religions. And I had spoke out about the Catholics and just done the studies, and, you know, and seen that they were just bad. And so that was how you really proved that you were being faithful, was to be against some other religion. And I just had spoke out against the Catholics, and this man that I talked about had married a Catholic woman. And there was friction between us because, you know, I'd said something to him, or I'd said something to his brother about it, and I knew that he had kind of got upset. And then years later, whenever after this happened, he just came up and hugged me. And it's just, you know, you wouldn't consider him a religious man or even necessarily a godly man, but there was something, there's a love there that can't be denied. And I just, and even whenever we were talking about it, he was talking about somebody that, and he just stood there and just cried. And it was just a blessing. Just, there was just no pretension there. He had talked about another friend that went through something like this, and he was just standing there talking just normal, but just tears running down his face. And so I the thought, we love God because he first loved us. You know, that's one of the tragic things that we hear in religion. You know, everybody thinks God hates them. Everybody thinks that God is mad at us. Everybody thinks that, you know, God is just there with a big old stick just waiting to slap us in the next week because we messed up. He's just waiting there, ready to throw us in hell. That's what we're taught about God. And you know what? Because of that, when people that are religious believe that and teach that, they act just that way. They're ready just to look down, and if somebody messes up, they're ready to slap them in the next week because they messed up. They did something wrong, so they're ready to punish them. That's what churches do. You know, if you don't agree with the representative of God, we don't agree with the people who are in church authority, they knock us down. They shun us. They put us in our place. They hide from us. They want us to make us feel bad so that they can bring us back into order. That's exactly what God is not. But that's who he's portrayed to be. Like I said, I've stumbled around and went through several things and just see him, because that's what religion's supposed to do. And it's so easy to get caught up in those things. But it is not who God is. God is love. And that verse that says, we loved him because he first loved us. These people who actually found Christ, who were actually converted, changed, transformed, born again, wasn't because some religion. It was because they saw God's love. And that's what drew them to him. But even though they've messed up, even though they're far from God, even though they've done all kinds of bad things, God loved them. And they saw that. You know, a lot of people think, well, I got saved, I found God's love, can I just go do whatever I want? Because I've been forgiven. But that's not the answer. Whenever we truly see God, we see, I want to be like him. And that's where love is. You know, love, whenever someone actually feels that love from someone else, or somebody actually knows that love, they respond to that love. Whenever someone feels that hatred, or whatever we'll call it, hatred of religion, or that anger of God, that mean, angry God, and they ever respond to religion, they become like that, because that's what they respond to. That's their God. That's who their God is. No matter what religion it is. But when we respond to God's love, it does this. You know, people respond. The verse, one of the verses I was going to use is, Jesus came to save sinners. You know, there was a Pharisee, he was a tax collector. And Luke talked about it. And the Pharisees were kind of against Jesus because they were promoting this God that hates everybody. And Jesus came along and was actually loving people. He came to save sinners. And he came into this group, and this man climbed up a tree. Little Zacchaeus, we hear about him. All he wanted to do was just, he'd sold out the Jewish people, and he was a friend of the Romans, a tax collector. Just making money all the time, that's all he cared about. But he heard about this man, Jesus. And he was just a little man, so he climbed up in a tree so he could see us. And Jesus come up under that tree, and he looked up under the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house for supper. So he went to Zacchaeus' house, and all the Pharisees, oh boy, he's talking to a tax collector. What kind of guy is this? You see, that's where Jesus is. He's right there where the person needs the help. And all the other people are looking down and said, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. But right there's where it is. Zacchaeus came down, and the Pharisees came up and said, and Jesus, condemning him for daring to even talk to this man. And Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to save the righteous, but sinners, to call sinners to repentance, to bring sinners back to God, not back to a religion, but back to God, back to himself, back to being like what he wanted them to be. How did he do that? Was he under the tree scolding him? You stupid tax collector. You've betrayed the people. You're wrong. You're wrong. No, he reached out to him when nobody else would. And he showed him love. How did he respond? He said, today, anything, half what I have, I'm going to give it back to anybody I've ever cheated or anybody I've ever done wrong. I'm going to give it away. It doesn't mean nothing to me anymore. That's how he responded. That's what it means. We love him because he first loved us. And all the religious people hated him for it. Because it just didn't fit their religion. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You know, love is not something that just come out of nowhere. It's not just an emotion. It's just not a feeling we have. Love comes from God. Love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You know, that kind of takes all the religion out of it, doesn't it? Someone that loves knows God and is from God. You know, we see people and sometimes they astound us. They're just out of the blue. And I'm not talking about going around people just busy, just trying to fix everything. But I mean the person that when you're down, they're there. When it's a shame to be around that person, this is the one that shows up. That's what love is. Love, whenever it's not just pretty and just all flowery and at a wedding or something where everything's just all, oh, this is love. No, love is whenever someone's been completely rejected and they're sitting on an ash heap like Job was, full of sores, and someone comes along and just is his friend. Doesn't have to change him, doesn't have to fix him. He's just there to help him get through whatever he's going through. That's what love is. Love means sometimes you got to climb up on the ash heap. And I don't mean, okay, I'm going to love people that are in the gutter. I'm going to go get drunk with them. I'm going to go raise all kinds of cane with them, show them I'm their friend. That's not what it means. Because whenever they're out having a good time, it's not when they need friends. They need friends whenever there's no one else around. And everyone else has turned their back on them. And to be seen with that person might put a little dirt on your spotless garment. People think, wow, he's a friend of sinners. And that's what it means to be a friend of sinners, what Jesus talked about. Like I said, it wasn't going out hanging out with them in the honky-tonk so you can win them, mocking them, so you can become friends with them. It means you're a friend of sinners when no one else wants to be around them. That's when you're their friend. Whenever everyone else is gone and you're still there. That's what love is. Love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And that's where we get religion. You know, there's a lot of people that talk about obeying God, and boy, I tell you what, they're the first to turn their back on you. They're the first to not be there. By this, The love of God was manifested in us, that God was sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Now, I just thought about that this morning. A lot of times we think, you know, when that we were lost, we belonged to Satan. And Jesus comes into this world. And we think, well, Satan killed him. He just wanted him dead. But you know, human beings, it was the very people Jesus came to save that Satan used as an instrument to crucify Christ. The very people he came, he loved people that hated him. And he still loved them enough to die for them. When you and I were yet sinners, yet Christ died for us. We get a glimpse of that. Then we can reflect that. And we're manifesting the love that God has shed abroad in our hearts. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. You know, we haven't seen Christ in the flesh like the disciples did. We haven't seen God. But we've seen love. Not only in the story, the history of Christ, but we believe it because we've actually seen it. Sometimes in other people. Maybe not very often. Maybe we see it enough, we get tired of it. But it's there. And that's how we can see it, if we can know. You know, I've said before, you know, people say, well, I can't be forgiven. You know, sometimes we think we've done too much wrong where I can't be forgiven. And then someone you know, someone they know has actually forgiven them. You know, if a man can forgive, that is just evidence that God can forgive. If a man can love, it's just proof that God can love. That's how we reflect God. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. What's the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Wait a minute. Strictness, condemning others that don't agree with us, making sure that we're holy, no one else is. No. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God and God abides in Him and He in God. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. They saw this love manifested. And they testified that it was true by their lives. Whenever it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, doesn't mean, I confess that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not what it means. It means that your life is reflecting love. Your life is reflecting forgiveness, mercy, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. That's your life. That is testifying to the world that Christ lives and that came into this world to save this world. Because without Him, none of it's here. Any goodness that you see in the world is because of God. Any evil that you see in the world is because people have rejected God. And who gets blamed for all the evil? Well, my grandma died, so I'm mad at God. He didn't save her. All the bad things happened to me, and it's God's fault. Just exactly opposite. Instead of seeing there's some good in this world, there must be a God, we see there's evil in the world, it's God's fault. But yet, that's exactly what the world does, is blame God for everything that they're doing. And that's what people do. They blame you for everything they're doing. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we should be in this world. So also are we in this world. As he is. See, that's, we're reflecting his spirit in the world right now. Not because we got the biggest church banner. Not because we're the most religious and the strictest. It's because we're actually reflecting him to the world. And this, by this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. There we have confidence in the day of judgment because we're reflecting this. You know, there's a lot of people that are afraid. One of the men I talked to is just full of fear about whether he's right with God or whether God ever forgave him or not. And I told him, you give up on yourself. We're not worthy to be saved. Jesus saved us. He is worthy to be served. And whenever you, one of the first things Jesus said, if any man will come after me, he's got to deny himself. Give up on trying to save yourself from going to hell. You deserve it anyway, just like I do. We serve God because he loved us and is worthy to be served. I had to realize that years ago. And I told this young man, you know, he's full of fear. And his fear just grows. And he was wondering why everybody attacks him. Because they've smelled the fear in you. And they come and they just attack you. You give yourself away and decide that God is worthy to be served, and you'll be a rock. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. That's what that means. Whenever I quit worrying about saving myself and start loving, there's no fear of what's going to happen to me anymore. Because perfect love casts out fear. Fear, perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. See, if we're just serving God because we're afraid we're going to be punished, it's not because of love. It's because of selfish love, which is not the same at all of love. We love because He first loved us. I told the story, I remember one time with my young family, and I had just started trying to follow the Lord, and I was concerned all my life about whether I was saved or not. And I stayed home. They went somewhere, and I stayed home and fasted for a couple of days and just was, God, I want to know whether I'm saved or not. And I prayed and prayed and finally got to the realization. It just dawned on me. I deserve to go to hell. I belong there. But God is worthy to be served anyway. And that, when I realized that fear just, it went away. Just like this verse says. Because He loved us. You see, when we deal with somebody, if someone comes up, you know, the verse that says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, somebody that's angry and mad, and they might meet someone that loves them. That love conquers their anger. Whenever we, you know, someone that nobody likes, and you reach out to them, and you love them, eventually, that'll get through to them. But if you just keep telling them nobody likes, everybody hates you, nobody, you know, you just jump on, you're never going to reach that person. Jesus came to save sinners. And He did it by being there for them. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You know, there people say they love God and they hate their brother because they're not where I'm at. They're a liar. That's what a liar is to God. It's not somebody that just says a little something that ain't quite true once in a while. It's someone that says, I love God, and all you dirty sinners are going to hell because you don't listen to me. That's a liar. That's not of God. That's not what Jesus came. That's not the way He came. He loved the people. It was the religion that He hated. Well, I can just do whatever I want then and still love God. The things that the Bible teaches us, the New Testament, how to live, are all there. Just as examples, how to love our neighbor. You know, it doesn't mean we just do whatever we want. Because if we love, we don't throw out all the religious things that are good. The rituals or the way we dress, because just to get rid of it. We love God. We do this because we love God. Not because it makes us better or religious. That's the problem. A lot of times people have the right structure in religion of how to do things, but there's no love in it. So when someone actually finds out that God will love them and forgive them, they just throw everything away. Instead of keep on practicing the godly things and the good things, just have love guiding it. In And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. You know, love takes patience to love. It's difficult. It doesn't mean it's without hiccups. It doesn't mean you do it all perfect all the time, but it just takes patience to love people. It takes love to love people. And when we look at God, we look at the real Christ, the real Jesus who walked into this world that hated him. And he still loved them. Even the ones that, you know, the young man that came to him, wouldn't listen to him, and he went away, and Jesus loved him. You know, a lot of people, whenever you give them, or a lot of people, if you don't listen to them, they excommunicate you and they're done with you. But Jesus gave advice to this young man, and the young man went away sorrowful. And the Bible says Jesus loved him. He even loved the people that hate him. It's that simple. Sorting it all out and putting it into practice is the difficulty. We make it so complicated, but it is just that simple. We love God because he first loved us. Our neighbors can love us because we first loved them. Sometimes we learn that they loved us, maybe even when we didn't love them. We can learn from that. May God add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock for fellowship meal. God bless you all. Depart in peace. God be with you.